Okay. Good evening. This is the WBAI Local Station Board's Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer and therefore the chair of this committee. The first thing we have to do is adopt an agenda, and so I move that we approve the following agenda. 1. Call to order 7 p.m. 2. Approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3. Identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4. Excused absences 5 minutes. 5. Minutes approval 5 minutes. 6. Treasurer's report 20 minutes. 7. General manager's report on WBAI's finances 60 minutes. 8. Set next meeting date 5 minutes. 9. New business, 10, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is the agenda. Is there any discussion or amendment or anything to the agenda? Okay.
Kind of long for a general meeting.
Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting that agenda? Hearing none, it is passed without objection. So the next thing we do is identify a timekeeper. Who would like to be timekeeper? Oh, Jeffrey's not here, so I don't know. Jeffrey, you're not here, are you? Okay, so...
Paul, you want me to do it? This is Jack DePalma.
Okay, that'd be good. You're here.
I got to get my timer. And tell me what the times are. I don't have a agenda in front of me.
Okay. Okay. But what a difference it makes when your phone can't be put away easily, which is what I have now. Okay, Jack DePalma will do it. Is there any objection to Jack DePalma being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jack DePalma is the timekeeper. And the next thing we do is excused absences, 5 minutes. Okay, let me put this in here. And do that. Okay. We have a request for excused absence from Martin Flynn and Serene Roberts. So... I move to excuse the absences of Martin Flynn and Serene Roberts. Is there any debate on that motion? Hearing none. Is there any objection to approving that motion to excuse Martin Flynn and Serene Roberts' absences? Hearing none. Pass without objection. Okay. Next thing is minutes approval. Okay. Now, is the secretary here? M.K. Williams, are you here? Okay, I am not hearing her saying she's here. So what I think we might
Paul,
do...
Can I move that postpone that till next week?
We're not going to meet next week. Okay, we'll see what... let me ask... M.K. Williams, are you here? Don't hear. Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the formal roll call right now to give her seconds to arrive. So even though you might have said your name already, you got to do it again. So please answer up when you hear your name. Joan DiLorenzo.
I'm here.
Jack DePalma.
Present.
Martin Flynn. Noel Jameson. Noel, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
no,
good.
I'm here. Yep, he's here.
Denise Joyce.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mario Mastrandrea. Matt Mazza.
Here.
Bertold Reimers. Serene Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Oh, okay. Michael D.D. White.
Here. Here.
M.K. Williams. Okay. Well, yeah, that's 11. That's more than a quorum. So we have definitely have a quorum.
You forgot my name.
Who's this?
Yeah, you didn't call my name out either, R. Paul Neal.
What? Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Neil Voss is here.
Yes.
And Allie Murphy is here.
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
So I thought I'd called your names, but okay. All right. So we have 11, and that's a good thing. And where was I? Oh, one. I got to do a bureaucracy thing here for a second.
The minutes
and,
up, Paul. And how much time do you want for the minutes?
Okay, well, it's 5 minutes. So we're here, but I'm doing some other business in it. We'll just do this fast. All right. I have to do this now. And here we go. It's while attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Okay, is there anybody here who wants to become a member and wants to give me their name to start showing up for meetings to become a member? Yeah, I hear none. We'll do this again later at some point. All right. M.K. Williams, are you here? Okay, she is not here. And we'll continue on. The next item on the agenda is the treasurer's report, which is for 20 minutes. And I will be giving that report. And here we go. Let's see, is this it? No, that's not it. This is it. Okay. At the April 23rd, 2024 NFC meeting, the executive director said that about $50,000 of the tower rent arrears had been paid. Much of that NFC meeting was devoted to the WPFW draft FY24 budget proposal. It was a deficit budget, and it was passed on to the PNB. At that meeting, the NFC passed the following motion, quote, to schedule a special NFC meeting to address WBAI financial management on Tuesday, April 30th, 2024 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, unquote. The report out from that April 30th meeting was, quote, the NFC met with the executive director, National Business Manager, and WBAI General Manager to begin the process required by the PNB to review the financial situation at WBAI. The committee discussed confidential topics regarding personnel, financial, and contractual matters, unquote. The May 14th, 2024 NFC meeting, that's last night's NFC meeting, met mostly in executive session. At the public session, two motions were passed. The first motion was, quote, when the NFC forwards a deficit budget to the PNB, the NFC will automatically follow up with the executive director, business manager, and station management to begin the process of addressing the deficit, unquote. The second motion said, quote, for stations with deficit budgets, station and national management will determine, with periodic financial reports at least quarterly, whether the deficit is increasing or decreasing, and report to the NFC, unquote. The meeting last night then went into executive session. The report out from that meeting was, quote, the NFC met in consideration of the WBAI FY24 deficit budget. We addressed financial, personnel, and contractual matters of a confidential nature with the executive director and the WBAI general manager, unquote. And that's about all I can say about those executive session meetings. I'll note that WBAI is not the only station that has submitted a deficit budget for FY24. So we should not be the only station that comes under scrutiny with regard to how to deal with the deficit budget. And the way those two motions I just read were phrased, it doesn't single out WBAI, which I was glad about. I think that Pacifica, you know, we're looking for how to do things and stuff, and there's not enough money. And I think that Pacifica should be thinking about ways to generate more revenue. There was an old saying they used to say here on the National Finance Committee. Somebody used to say, you cannot cut your way to prosperity. And there's been talk in the past about monetizing the Pacifica radio archives by in some way licensing some of it and giving some – well, giving – selling some of these things, some audio files to schools and things like that, because some schools, you know, they teach history or civics, and Pacifica, from all of the stations, has a whole lot of – historical recordings. And so we probably really need to try and get the archives monetized in some way. And some of those ways could get Pacifica a bit more money. That's not to say we shouldn't do anything else, but that's just one suggestion that's been made. It would also help a lot if the FY22 and FY23 audits got done, because there are apparently reports of various people trying to get grants and things for stations, but they can't because they do not have audits from Pacifica. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, May 28th, 2024 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That meeting will be held by teleconference. That's the report. Are there any questions or anything else, questions or comments on the treasurer's report? I'll take a stab.
Well, this is Jack. I don't know. Set the timer for yourself. I think this is the questions after the report.
All right. I just did. We have 10 minutes. Started at 7:30. I just stopped at 7:35. So, you know,
thank you,
we got lots of time. Okay.
All right. Jump to the stack.
So you're not on the stack, right, Jack? No. Who wants to be on the stack?
I have
Jim
to catch up to the
stack.
Timekeeping. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, who was that? Dingman?
That's right.
Okay, Jim Dingman. Anybody else want to be on stack for questions or comments on the treasurer's report? Hearing none, let's go to Jim Dingman right now. Go ahead, Jim.
All right, first of all, it's clear to me from all the weeks of having meetings at the national level that it's essential that we, in New York, and everybody's doing as much as they can, hats off to the producers, hats off to everybody who's working hard, but we have to get the audience up. This is, I'm just sick and tired of having to argue this. I've argued this for 20 goddamn years. You cannot go to the trough of 30 to 60,000 tune-ins, which is what we're doing right now, and expect you're going to get miracles. We need several hundred thousand people listening to the station a week. Now, how that's achieved is a difficult issue, but that's the first point to make. Nothing will happen of significance until that issue is solved, because we still depend for most of our money, 80 to 90% of it comes in from listener members. Secondly, the issue of monetizing the archives is moving along, but nevertheless is, I feel, being handled incompetently. I feel that the people who are responsible for the archives, in my opinion only, have not done a decent job in generating the kind of what we now use the term thank you gifts premiums to you know, create diverse products based on the archives. And a good example of that is several years ago when I was argued and successfully got a national fundraiser, which basically bombed because they were using a premium that was 5 years old. So these are the kind of things that have to be addressed and have to be moved on forward. And finally, of course, the issue of how we're transitioning from the culture that we've had previously of raising money to the new one, which is a difficult process, which I will address and talk about later. The whole question of adhering to this consent decree from the FCC and retraining everybody to pitch differently than they did before. I'm sure that our Paul has stuff to say about that, but lots of people have lots of things to say about that. Thanks.
Okay. Is there anybody else who wants to make a comment or question on the treasurer's report?
Denise.
I heard somebody.
Denise on the stat.
Denise, anybody else? Okay, Denise Joyce, go ahead.
I don't know. I keep hearing a deviation between our needing to get the audits done and our needing to raise more listeners. I think they're two different issues, and the audits must be done, period. You know what I mean? I don't recall the exact dollar amount that we were getting from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but it was quite a bit of money. And if we start to work on the audits, which the Pacifica general manager said that she would when she visited us at the Community Advisory Board, and it seems like it said that it's going to be addressed right away, and then it's not. I just came in at the end when there was a gentleman speaking. He first said the audits need to be done, and then he deviated over to the amount of audience listeners. They have to be done simultaneously, but I think the audit must be done now. The ones that are years back, we have to be able to create an environment where we can start to obtain money from the CPB, period. We have to do that. We are a listener-sponsored radio station. We have been. And from what I understand, we pretty much meet the criteria, except we haven't done the audits. So we need to try to figure out who can we get to do something for us pro bono, because we don't have any money. And I feel confident there are people out there that will. Are we doing that currently?
Jim to the stack.
Let me say something, and then we'll go. We'll see if anybody else wants to go. And okay, right now, let me just fast say, yes, we need to get the audits done. We've been knowing this for a while. The issue is the executive director has decided that we will not engage an auditing firm, because right now at this moment, we must have two audits done. And we don't have the money for them. And she does not want to engage a firm where we pay them half the money. And it's going to be like $75,000 or $80,000. And she doesn't want to give half of that to a firm. And then when they get the audit done, have to scramble around to try and get the rest of it, because unless you pay them in full, they do not release the audit. So that's a part of what's happening here, is the money is interfering with getting an audit. Okay, is there Jim Dingman wants to ask?
Has anybody tried to get it done without our actually paying for it? That, I know that sounds far-fetched.
Not that I know of.
But it's not so unusual at all.
Time has been called.
Based on our history. All right.
Okay, time has been called. If anybody wants to, they could make a motion to extend the time for the treasurer's report. It's up to people.
Paul Darryl McPherson is present.
Oh, okay. One second. I'll have to write the...
Our Paul.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay, time has been called. Anybody want to extend, or are we going to the next thing?
I'd like to address what Denise just said.
then maybe you want to make a motion to extend.
Extend it for 10 minutes, please. Thank you. This is Ali.
Yeah. Okay, 1 second. For what, 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, we are extended for 10 minutes. Mr. Timekeeper, it is 1944 right now.
Thank you, Awful.
So we got another 10 minutes, so we go to 6 minutes to 8. Okay. So we have... Jim Dingman wants to speak again. Has anybody who hasn't spoken yet wanna say something?
James.
Yeah. Ali. Okay. Thank you.
Did Daryl say he wanted to?
James Sagerton did.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know if I heard Daryl say he wanted to.
No, Ali.
No, okay. No. So we have Sagerton and
Ali.
Dingman and Murphy. Anybody else want to get on that stack? Hearing none. James Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you, Art Paul. I served on the National Audit Committee for a couple of years when I first started, and it was said there, and I've never actually had the opportunity or just never got around to looking this up. So I'm not positive that it's correct, but I'm going to repeat what I heard there. And that was either that pro bono audits are not allowed or that they're frowned upon because an audit is supposed to be done by a completely independent third party. And the fact that somebody would be doing it pro bono indicates that they're somehow on your side, and it would call into question the veracity somehow of the audit. I don't, again, know if that's actually true, but these are things that were said and accepted as true on the National Audit Committee some years ago. If anybody else has any information about that, I'd be glad to hear it.
Okay. The next person in the stack is Alejandrina Murphy.
Okay, thanks, Apple. This is maybe one of you will be able to answer a few of my questions. The first thing that I have to say, the same way that, and I'm just saying this because I heard that WPI did ask for money for the tower, and they were able to raise some money. It is possible to for the Pacifica Fire Station to also run some program where they will be able to tell the listener about what is happening with this auditor that we haven't been able to get it done. Because to me, it seems like we are losing money by not being able to file for these grants. I'm just wanting to know if that is possible for the Pacifica to do those programs and ask for money, and if I'm right that by not doing those ordinance, we are losing money, because I heard you, our poll, that you said it's about $80,000, and I'm wondering how much money will we be able to get from those grants. Thanks. I'm done.
Okay. To answer some questions, back when we were in the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, it was done a bit differently. Each station was in it separately. What they're trying to do now, what the executive director is trying to do now, is have all of Pacifica as a single entity be in the CPB. Part of the reason for that is that we ran into problems years ago where one station, I won't say which one, did not have enough listeners to qualify. Other stations did not have enough paid employees to qualify. And the bar for having enough paid employees is ridiculously low. It's 5 full-time equivalent employees. And there were there was at least one, maybe more than one station, that didn't have five employees in it. So those two stations didn't get it. Now, in the old days, WBAI used to get a substantial chunk of change every year. It did change at different times. We used to get community service grants. We used to get an extra $200,000 when we had a crafts fair. But a certain general manager shut that down, brilliant, and we lost that money, and we never got it back. And then in some years ago, the CPB kicked us out, and by that time, we were getting – WBAI as a separate member of CPB was getting – I think it was about $200,000 or more a year. And so – it's a substantial amount of money. What would we get this time? I don't know, but it would certainly be six figures, and getting six figures per year would be a great thing for all of Pacifica. Could we get all five stations to do a big thon to get the audit going? Well, that would be wonderful if we could get that to happen. But I have to say, I don't know that all stations would comply with that. Some stations are sitting there saying, oh, good, BAI's in trouble. So we've got that. There are people in Pacifica, I wouldn't say all stations, some stations. I would say some people in Pacifica or in some way connected to Pacifica are not at all displeased about BAI struggling. All right? So there's that. All right. Jim Dingman, you're next.
All right. First of all, let's get to this pro bono issue. I personally don't have time to explore that, and I think it's brought up, and I think it's just I think it's a phony kind of thing to bring up, because people who actually want to pursue that, they should pursue it, and let's see, prove us wrong, because you're not going to get a major firm to come in and do that. I really doubt that very much, but let's see if they do. Secondly, Jim may be right about that. Thirdly, the amount of money needed is far more than $80,000. We're talking about 2 years of audits. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is that all the stations, they evaluate the whether you get it or not based on the Nielsen ratings. And all the stations have varying levels of Nielsen ratings. Ours are not that great, and neither is Los Angeles. And to some extent, the other stations are a little better, but we have yet to do that. Plus, we need to buy at least a year of Nielsen books for each station. So that's about $30,000 to $50,000 right there. Another problem is that the pain of the audits is tied into the sale of the building in Los Angeles, and that is getting caught up in the problems that they're having with the EIDL loan. The EIDL loan is now in default, and they're trying to work out an arrangement with the feds to get the lien cleared on the building in Los Angeles so they can proceed with the sale, but that's one of the problems there. And then the money from the sale would theoretically go towards the audit. So that's why it's being stalled. And there's another problem in that we got a letter from them dated 2013, and then there's a more recent letter. And there's a whole bunch of issues that require a lot of work to clear up going back to 2013. In other words, we got to go review records to 2013 and probably before that and figure out what their issues of complaint are towards us giving them money. And that's the problem with that issue with the CPB. It's a complicated issue. It's going to require a lot of effort to unravel. Plus, we need additional revenue to basically pay off the audits. And yes, you're right. The question of getting money from nonprofit sources is screwed because we don't have the audits. And that is a serious problem. That's one of the reasons why we have to rectify that issue as fast as possible. It's going to require a lot of work. It's going to require resources that right now I don't see on the horizon. Hopefully they'll come, but I don't see them.
Okay. I should point out, that's true. The the sale of the building in Los Angeles is supposed to fund the audits, but as we've heard, it's been going on for 5 months, and the executive director, I think this was said publicly, I think the executive director, see, I got to remember what we did in public session, what we did in executive session, because, you know, I'll get fried in Mazola oil if I accidentally say something that was done in executive session. So I believe that it is certainly sometime in June when they're hoping to be able to get the KPFK building done with and the money moved around. There's time. Just very fast. Yeah, there are some complications with that, and you know they're having to appeal to the government, and it's very difficult. The government ain't helping any. Time has been called. Does anybody else want to say anything or ask any questions about the treasurer's report? If not, the next item on our agenda is General Manager's report on WBAI's finances. And Berthold, are you here? Berthold? Oh, crap. All right. You know what? Let me buy a second or two here and ask if other people are here. Is Martin Flynn here? Is Mario Mastrandrea here? Is Berthold Reimers here? Not. Serene Roberts here. Is M.K. Williams here? Okay, nobody new in there. Berthold, you're not here, and I guess we're just going to have to go to the next item on the agenda here because he's not here. He had called me earlier about something, and it was about the meeting. Oh, did I just lock up? Oh, God. And, you know, I don't know what to say here. He's not here, and we're just going to have to live with that, I suppose. Well, let me make a note. Not here. You know what? There's something else I can do. And I'm going to read that membership thing again. We got to read this thing. It's a necessity. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board, unquote. Is there anybody here who would like to give me their name and say they want to become a member of this committee?
AR Paul, it's Martin joining the call late.
Oh, Martin Flynn is here. Okay, one second. I'll put you up here and make note that you have arrived on the attendance sheet. Okay, is there anybody here who is not a member who wants to give me their name so that they can become a member? Hearing none, we move on. Okay.
How much you want to Paul, timekeeper,
yeah.
How much?
Yeah, it is 5 minutes, and it can start now. All right, set next meeting date. That's what we're doing. Let me get to that. All right, so this is May 15th. The next LSB meeting is June 12th, so I will propose that we meet on – there's a cable here. That we meet on June 19th. That will be sort of the way we've been doing it, the week after the LSB meeting. So I move that we meet next on June 19th, 2024, at 7 p.m. Here on Maestro Conference, as usual. Is there any debate on this motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to going to a vote on this motion? Hearing no objection, is there any objection to adopting this motion to meet next on June 19th at 7 p.m. here? Hearing none, passed without objection. And new business is next. Yes, somebody, hold on a second. We're going to go into new business, and somebody can say what they please there, but one second while I do my bureaucracy, especially since the secretary is
there. What is your time for new business, Paul?
It's unlimited. It goes until the meeting ends.
Aha.
Okay. Does anybody have any new business they want to bring to the committee?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Jim, go ahead.
All right, I'm glad Martin Flynn is here, and I'm glad you're here, R. Paul. The issue I want to raise is the question of fundraising on the air under this new regimen that has to do with complying with the FCC underwriting rules. I've been downloading several years going back of rule changes by the FCC. I intend to have a meeting on Friday with several general managers of affiliates. And the one thing I'm trying to clarify, and this is something that affects some of the policy that has been implemented, is the issue of how you deal with the, quote, thank you gifts, end quote. Because as I understand it, and our Paul, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, because I've not seen the actual training manual or the training that is underway yet. But it's my understanding that people are arguing, John Amell in particular, I had a long argument with him about this, is that the only time you can reference a premium or thank you gift is twice in a pitch or twice in an hour. And I personally find that completely out of line with what I see on Channel 13 or Channel 21 all the time, when they're pitching premiums that are related to shows on Oldies or Les Miserables, et cetera. And I'm trying to get a clarification of that from people who are actually administering stations that have been operating under these underwriting motions or underwriting rules of the FCC. Because I know that already, as of a week ago or something like that, two complaints were made about fundraising shows at New York. And this is serious stuff, because if they have to basically show the FCC by a certain date, I think it's in July, that we are complying with this. And after that, you could have complaints. And remember, there are people who listen to our air who are the same individuals who brought that whole complaint to the FCC 2 years ago. And those things could cost serious money, not $25,000, which is serious enough, but we're talking about much more than that. So I'm putting that out as an issue that I'd like to hear people talk about, because that gets down to the basic issue of how we raise money over the air and whether this is, you know, what are the problems about that. I know people can solve these problems, but this is an existential problem that we have to face right now.
Hi, R. Paul. It's Carolyn McIntyre. I'm present at the meeting. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. Carolyn McIntyre is here. We're making a note of that. I'll try to make the same announcement before we end this. But anyway, okay, Carolyn McIntyre is here. In reply to Jim a bit, let me say, I have seen management saying we're going to have to get training. We haven't had it yet. At least I haven't had it yet. And so I'm seeing all sorts of things being said about this. And yeah, the idea that we can only do a mention a premium twice in an hour. I wonder, you know, people can be creative about how they say things on the air. But we have to be careful about it because, you know, there's a difference between being okay, I don't know what that was. There's a difference between being creative and just being cute. Being cute gets you caught and snagged and fined. So we have, you know, we can be creative and saying, you know, yes, we are offering if you as whatever it's going to be. I haven't seen the full wording of how we have to do this. It can't be called a premium. I'm not sure about if it could be called thank you gift at this point or not. But you, if you say, well, and if you call in now with your $2,000 pledge, we will send you the collected works of
That is a call to action, and that is verboten.
Okay, yes.
Paul, can I speak?
Well, I won't make the point. Okay, there we go. I haven't gotten training yet, so is there a stack?
Jack Palmer.
Palmer.
Denise on the stack.
And Denise Joyce.
And Martin to the stack.
Martin Flynn. Anybody else? Okay, Jack DePalma, you go ahead.
Yeah, I would just suggest, Paul, that the idea that you're going to sell something is probably the issue. I believe that when you say it's listener-supported radio, you're actually telling people that we need listener support, kind of a little bit more aligned with what Jim was talking about. We need more listeners that will support us. And the membership characteristics of Pacifica are pretty obvious, and I think the idea that we're returning on a contribution or a gift is a thank you gift is fine with me. I hope it's fine with the FCC, and I imagine you don't have to mention that more than one, even twice an hour, like Jim said. If you look at what's on PBS or even on NPR, I was listening to today. They say that they're in fundraiser. They say they need money, but they don't, you know, offer something every 10 minutes, every, you know, and I don't think we do either. So I think because it's so vague and so relaxed and so new, we have to be aware and also not be too unable to sway away from the model of, you know, we're selling something for the radio station's support. That's wrong, I think, and I think Martin is correct about that, and I think Jim is correct about that. We need more people that understand we're listener-supported and then support the radio station, not for something, but for the radio station. I think that's the new model. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I was making a point, and it we didn't get to it, so there we go. Denise Joyce is next.
The first thing I want to ask is who posed the complaint about the way we present premiums. That's the first thing. And once we establish that, if we have that information, what was the exact complaint and the response from the FCC? That's the first thing that I'd like to focus on. I also want to ask, it was said by, Jim, that he had made an attempt to speak to someone about to get clarification about the premiums. Did Jim actually have an opportunity to speak to someone firsthand who has pertinent or relevant information pertaining to the premium question so that we can proceed on a kind of like a solid footing? And then pertaining to the premiums, a lot of the listeners want the information that's being provided or discussed during a program. And when they offer the ability to obtain that information in their own home so that they can share it with friends and family without having to run out and run behind getting the actual premium, it's a great favor to the listener. I happen to be a listener who really likes to get certain premiums. Sometimes I don't have time to go and purchase it elsewhere, and have them tell me they don't have it available or whatever. I just prefer to just see if I can obtain it because I found the information very interesting and I want to share it with others. I think it's a great service that WBAI provides for the listening audience by offering that. So I'm very interested for a fact, who made the complaint? What was the nature of their complaint? What was the response of the FCC? I'd like to see something, some kind of documentation pertaining to this. And when speaking to someone, if any of our associates in the finance group or the LSB, when speaking to someone who's had dealings with the FCC, like Channel 13 and others, you know, where do they get that clarification from? And what kind of dialogue do they have with an actual individual who is in a similar situation to us, meaning listener-sponsored, supported media? I'm just always concerned about we have a tendency to have a dialogue about supposition and not fact, and it's not helpful to us. We can't get to any resolve by doing that.
I can tell you that the all of this is posted online. In fact, the complaint itself and the agreement and all of this stuff is posted online.
On which site, please?
Yeah, well, it's on the FCC site. Now, various people have posted. I think there have been emails with this. Let me look at this very second and see if I find an email in here about too much to search for. All I could say is yes, all of this, because it's public. When you make a complaint to the FCC and the FCC starts taking action, it's all perfectly public, and so it is up there.
I'll check it out. The next meeting that we come to, I will be able to tell you emphatically that I did view the documentation that's posted up of FCC, or if I was unable to find it, I'll try to speak to someone at FCC who can give me some kind of concrete response.
What I'll try to do is look that up right away and post it and post links to it to the committee mailing list, okay?
And yes, I'll submit my email address to you as well.
Okay. Well, you're on the committee mailing list, aren't you?
I don't believe so, no.
You're not?
I don't think
you want to be.
I'm going to absolutely make sure you have it.
Okay. Write to me, and I will invite you to the list, and then you can get on the list. All right. Martin Flynn is next.
Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, I'm on the board of a new LPFM in New Jersey, and we're going through this, and we've spent far too much money on legal expenses. But here is what our attorney says, and take it at face value because you're not paying for it. When you pay for it, you take it with a lot more gravitas. You can't link the money donated and what the donor gets. Once you do that, you're selling product, and that's what we got hit over the head for. The perception we were selling products, not giving away premiums. So that's basically it. Once you link the two, you're selling it. Like what the analogy used by our attorney, and my apologies in advance to the ladies in the audience, taking a young lady out to dinner and having a relationship with her afterward is one thing. Paying her and then having a relationship is another. And that's the analogy our attorney used. Once you're connecting the two, it's no longer a gift. It's commerce. And that's where we got hit over the head.
And they don't hit the Channel 13 individuals over the head as well when they do the exact same thing.
Not having seen the instance you're referring to, and I'm not waffling.
I'm a Channel 13 supporter as well.
Oh,
and
so am I.
I do tell you how much it will cost in order for you to acquire one of their premiums?
I don't believe anyone is weaponizing the FCC process against Channel 13. We do have people that are weaponizing that process against WBAI specifically. I'm about to send the link to the list of where the FCC stuff is. So
okay,
the that is what our attorneys told us. And the corporate officer, I have to take that at face value. Whether our finance committee at BAI takes it at face value is entirely up to them. But there is logic from my viewpoint to what the attorney is saying. Once you're connecting the two, it's a sale. It's no longer a gift.
Jim's a stack.
Okay. Let me
Michael
go
White
first. Jim Dingman, anybody else want to get on a stack right now?
Nancy on the stack, please.
Michael White to the stack.
Okay. I heard somebody before Michael White. Who was that?
Nancy.
Oh, from KPFT. Okay, and Michael White, anybody else want to get on the stack right now? Okay, first me, let me say, Pacific has been through a lot of different things, and so has BAI, and I have to say, years ago, people are talking over me, what? Everybody please come to order. Years ago, when we were doing premiums, and I said, geez, I don't know about those things. I wondered about, we're really selling stuff. And boy, did I ever get argued down by then management. And, so I said, here we go. And now it turns out, oh, yeah, that's a problem. And we do have to pay attention. That's a very good analogy you gave. Regarding the difference between paying for a product and giving a product. We just have to pay attention to this stuff. If we could just get enough people to say, I want to donate because of what WBAI does on the air, that would be really wonderful. But it doesn't look like we're getting that for various different reasons. And I think it will be very good if we do get the training, and I hope we get the training because it ain't here yet. And we're pitching like mad. I know we didn't get a general manager's report, but there was a phase two of the big tower fund pitching. I am told there's going to be a phase three coming up quite soon for the big tower fund pitch. And I am concerned that there could be some donor fatigue from that because you keep telling people, we really, really need it. And you keep telling them that, and, they donate. And the people who actually donate say for the second and third and fourth and fifth time you do the exact same thing, they say, I've already donated, so I don't have to donate again. And pretty soon you go through the people who actually donate, and you have a problem. And plus, there are other bills that we need to pay. The call center is one, and there are several other things. And I don't know what the rent at 388 is going to end up being, but we have a bunch of bills that we need to pay. So there is that. I hope we do get the training soon, and I hope that management is not lax about making sure it's done because, there are, let's just say, there have in the past been producers who have had the attitude of bleep management and whatever they say, I'll do what I please. And, in this sort of case, it could be damaging. So I hope management will take this seriously and make sure everybody else does too. Okay, the next person is Jim Dingman.
Nancy.
No, Jim Hello. Dingman is next.
Sorry.
All right. All right. Well, first of all, I agree 100% with what our Paul said, and that's why I always am talking about the audience issue, because audience fatigue does indeed set in after you're going back and forth to only 30 to 60,000 people who tune in. Eventually, you're going to get diminishing returns. Now, to answer Denise, I'm learning as much as anyone else is. So You know, there's a lot of things I am going to learn about. I'm glad. Thank you, Martin, for your suggestions. I hope Martin will be part of this process. The managers we're going to talk to, I'm going to do that on Friday. And, of course, I'll share that information with everybody. I'm asking them, you know, how they train their people. But the process is going through the Foster Garvey attorney, Brad Deutsch. He's coming up with the manual. I think he worked at the FCC. I mean, Jim or Paul can correct me on that. And they're going to then create a manual. John Amella is the compliance officer for the stage, for the whole system, and I think he's working with Stephanie. And they're going to come up with a manual and a training program that has to be successfully implemented by a certain date. And, yes, if people do not want to comply with it, they're going to be taken off the air. Okay, it's simple as that. In fact, that's in that will be in there in the policy, because the compliance agreement, which once you get that link, you can see what they say. It is pretty straightforward as to we got to do X, Y, and Z at certain dates. Plus, we got to come up with $5,000 a month to pay the $25,000 fine. Okay, and the $25,000 fine is a hell of a lot less than we could have gotten, but that was immediately passed on to us because they were attacking Gary, Christine, and the off-the-hook people in the complaint. All this is public record. You can go look at the complaint itself. So we're going to learn a lot about this. I don't pretend to know much about it yet. I'm going to make sure I learn as much as I can, and I will share that information with everybody else as I learn. That's the only way to – you know, because obviously we've got a lot of creative people in Pacifica. We can come up with solutions to solve this problem, but it's going to depend on not you know, some magic cure, you know, filter water or something like that. And I do personally find that Gary being taken off the air to me is offensive. I personally find it very offensive, but we have to figure out a way to then forward promote the entire programming of the station in the pitches that are being given by a person giving a thank you gift. And that is a different kind of approach. It's actually a positive approach for the whole station's grid to have people actually talking about how wonderful this show is and that show is. It's going to be interesting cultural change. But yes, I will pass on as much as I get, as soon as I get it, to as many people can get it. And again, I consider myself in kindergarten on this stuff. I'm learning just like the rest of us are right now.
Okay, next is Nancy. Nancy, go ahead.
Sidebar, now you tell me. This committee could do something revolutionary and be a poster child for Pacifica Network in being having financial transparency. This tower rent is very alarming, concerning to me, and I'm just getting the BAI newsletter. And you see, you know, an arc, and you see at 10:50 we have a thermometer, and then, oh, this much was met, and then it's like half or 46,000. And then I get another BAI letter, and it says, well, 100,000 is necessary now. So really, I think it's not good. It's not good for the listeners to see this. So why don't you people in this committee take a big, strong step in posting, make a motion to post all your donations with the membership numbers, not with their names, and post the time, the amount, what show was you're giving credit to, and the date, and if there was a premium involved, a thank you gift, call it a thank you gift. And then post also the expenses, the pictures of the bills, the receipts paid, and then have the business manager and the general manager sign their signature and have it monthly on the website of the station, where you can just click it and you or either go to a PDF or go to a link, but you see everything. Then the listeners can see their and check their own donation, and they can see other people's donations too. And they get a good idea how much BAI is spending every month and and making every month. And this thermometer needs to be more detailed and precise and not growing. Like, is it next month going to be even a bigger arc, or what is it going to be, another mountain? This is not good. And we've had this problem at our station in our history. We did that to buy a transmitter. And 2 years later, that transmitter was giving us dead airs up to 6 hours. And I just wondered if it was a used equipment or what. You know, I couldn't figure out why would a transmitter go bad. We bought it in 2007. It went bad by 2009. And we were hopping and limping along until 2014. That's a long time and a lot of dead airs, drop-offs. Oh, awful, awful. Anyway, the most awful thing in Pacifica, in my opinion, and I've just been on only 14 and a half years, there's no documents. You people in this committee and in KPFT's finance committee, we have only seen only one telephone bill in 14 years. Only one. It was a $600 bill for June 2019. And I don't know why we were allowed to see that, but you people could make a request or in a motion for transparency. Okay, and the other thing is, you know, you don't have a programming committee. If you have a programming committee, as is in the advisory committee, in the bylaws, where it's open to the membership, so you have a lot of input. And you say, let's organize on the ground, getting 30 seconds or maybe 80 seconds or maybe, interviews from the students and the teachers that are protesting at the schools. And New York is so full. I'm envious. You have so many schools that are participating in this protest. New York, number one. I think L.A. is number two. Houston, way, 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 way down. So if you have a committee that can organize these things and edit these things and then play them like little cards so you have new ones every day, and then that will bring in more interest from the people we need, younger people without gray hair. And the other thing is this this station needs an outreach committee. We were planning in the WBAI Outreach and Development Committee to put free advertising posters in all the libraries and in the museums and changing them often. I mean, getting the word out, BAI exists. I mean, we could do those things. Why is this committee shut down? I think it would serve the purpose of finance if we were to get that outreach going again, this voluntary work. And about the audit, I'd like to say to Denise, once we apply for the audit, it will not come immediately. It will take 1 year before we start seeing some money. And then about the CPB. I'm talking about CPB. Once you apply for CPB, it takes a year before you start getting. If we pass, it takes a year. And about the audit, waiting on the audit. This is so detrimental, I feel, okay? But the problems we had in the past, there was one station the last time we had, waited and waited and waited to give their documentation to the auditors. You know, that's very expensive because they charge while they're waiting for information. It was not BAI. It was another station. And that same station, somebody from them reported to FCC about this problem that you are now having to pay $25,000, or we are all having to pay $25,000 for.
Our Paul, so, I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay.
And okay. Our Paul, today's date is May 15th. You forgot to say at the beginning of the meeting, it's necessary. Thank you.
I didn't catch that. What about May 15th?
The date.
Today?
You forgot to say the date. It's May 15th,
2024. Oh, okay. It's May 15th. Okay. Let me answer some of this a little bit here. In terms of that newsletter, yeah, that's a management thing, and there are certainly issues to be raised about that newsletter. And the fact that management is handling is handling the narrative of money the way it is in that newsletter. And so, yeah, that's an issue. The other thing, though, in terms of putting all the information you're talking about online, I don't think that's going to happen at all. One, I don't think management can manage to do that if they want to.
Well, they need a new manager.
Okay, we're not discussing personnel. We may not discuss personnel on the call. Thank you. And
so
the other part of it is,
that,
could I please do not try to speak
over me
or anybody else? Yes, the other part of it is putting all of that information, even if we could get it together, online. I would feel a little nervous about doing that because you're liable to expose yourself to certain things there. It may seem like something's anonymous to you. Digging in to find out who's doing what that are very easy these days. People go to things and, you know, you have Zoom meetings and you think you're just talking to people. Well, Zoom doesn't just make its money off people paying to talk to each other. It makes its money off scraping every bit of information out of those calls and the people who call in and selling it to whoever will pay. So there's that, and it's everything else too. So keeping, you know, saying, oh, and member number XYZ gave this amount of money on this date. That's something that could probably be discovered by people searching, and I don't know if people would like that. So, and also in general, I don't know that that's, you know, first of all, also, we do not have a business manager, so we can't hand it to our business manager.
We do. Of the whole network.
Yeah, the network has one. The whole network, not BAI. And so what happens is, oh, please stop trying to talk over me, Nancy.
Sorry.
So the
point of order, would the chair call the meeting to order, please?
Yeah, I'm trying to get that to happen.
This is ridiculous. You're not recognizing a colloquy.
All right, let me finish here, and then we're going to you. Okay, and there was another thing in there. The CPB stuff would take more than a single year. You apply for it in May of every year. Well, you have to be fully compliant for a full year before you can apply. So if we become fully compliant this month and remain fully compliant for a full year, we can apply to the CPB. But there's more to it. There are various things from a letter from 2013 and later, complaints about BAI, largely fundraising and stuff. I don't know what all of that is because that whole letter has not been revealed. But there are things that we have to do that we are going to have a hard time doing. So getting the CPB money is, in my opinion, very, very difficult, especially since not everybody's going to cooperate with that sort of thing. And next we have Michael D.D. White. You have the floor.
Thank you, R. Paul. So, I think it is – I don't know what to think of the fact that an attorney can come up with a cute story about how you're supposed to understand what you can do with terms in terms of premiums and thank you gifts. A cute story about taking a woman out to dinner that you want to have sex with. The problem is that it's an absolutely useless piece of advice because it doesn't tell you what WBAI has done right or wrong, and what doesn't tell you what WBAI is doing right or wrong or different from all of the other people raising money and NPR and PBS are the prime examples. also to say that we got, you know, that this is something that we got hit with, that forgets to say that we weren't hit with it. There were people inside of the Pacifica environment who decided to hit us with this. And that has to be remembered. And the idea that, it somehow matters that people are weaponizing this against us, but they just don't happen to be weaponizing it against people. They don't happen to be weaponizing it against the NPR. And if that should excuse the fact that the selective treatment by the government against us at this point, no. It also doesn't work let it go by that the government is now coming up with these inexplicable rules that seem to be that we're supposed to train ourselves to follow that are even further away from what PBS and NPR are doing. We have to look at this for what it is, which is that we have been improperly attacked by insiders, and in doing so, I think we really have to look at whether there's been a breach of faith that something should be done about people who are going to do this. I don't know. I'm hearing so much assumption of blame. And, I don't know. We're talking about the BPI doing this. Within the same network. What about the other stations? But I'm hearing a lot of yelling and screaming about how WBAI has done this or that wrong. Seems to imply that other network stations are not doing it. Well, look, if WBAI doesn't have a programming committee, WBAI does exercise control over programming. We have the program director deliver a program director report every single meeting, 12 meetings at least every year. Other stations in the network don't even do that. Furthermore, there are some committees that are required under the bylaws and some actions that are required under the bylaws. And other stations in the network don't do that. But WBAI does do that. We're the only ones who have done, met the bylaw requirement with respect to doing performance management evaluations. Of our management. I don't know. I just hear people coming in and talking about stuff that is so off base. And we really have to look at what is, and we are being selectively targeted, and the government is not supposed to do that. And furthermore, there should be no attempt to get us selectively targeted by people within the Pacifica environment. If they want to selectively target it and create problems for Pacifica and for WBAI, they should be looked as not as insiders, but as outsiders.
Carolyn McIntyre for the
okay.
Denise.
Okay, one second. Let me... right now, let me go very fast and make sure. Is Mario Mastrandrea here? Is Bertold Reimers here? Is M.K. Williams here? Okay, wanted to make sure people didn't happen to show up. The other thing is, we used to have a programming committee. We probably shouldn't get into why that got destroyed. Anyway, I hear Carolyn McIntyre. Anybody else?
Denise on the stat.
Okay. Denise Joyce. Anybody else?
Jim on the stat.
Kingman. Anybody else want to get on a stack?
Yeah, put Martin Flynn back on the stack.
Okay. Carolyn McIntyre, go ahead.
Yeah. I was chairman of the LSB, WBII LSB, for 3 years. And during that time, I worked with Berthold and the LSB. I had regular meetings with Berthold. He would show me checks that he paid, bills, show me on the computer. He showed me how he scanned them in to central services. There was complete transparency. I want to ask Nancy to, and the people who keep perpetuating this myth that there is hiding going on, a lack of transparency at WBAI. That was never the case when I was the chairman of the board working with Berthold. Berthold is one of the only general managers that is transparent and accountable. He is also one of the only general managers that goes to every LSB meeting and provides reports ahead of time. If I wanted to know something prior to the meeting and I wanted it reported at the meeting, like how many buddies there were that month, he would do that, and he would provide that. If we wanted a report on how much was paid to a telephone bill, he would provide that. Please stop perpetuating this. Like I would say, I echo Michael's message, selective targeting of WBAI within Pacifica and selective targeting of Pacifica from government and from within, whether it's New Day and others who are selectively sabotaging, it's definitely sabotage. The other thing I would like to say is that, please, R. Paul, I would like to plead with you, when you're a fantastic chair, and I respect you so much, but when you have somebody who makes a comment and then goes, does this back and forth with you, saying, well, what about this and what about that, and badgering, would you please move on to the next person on the stack? I don't think any of us want to hear this back and forth badgering that goes on. And I think it's unfair to the rest of us to sit through that, especially when there are people on the stack. So please ask people to make one comment, a brief comment, or ask a question, and then move on. I really appreciate and echo what Michael has said. WBAI's news department was eviscerated years ago when all the stations were asked to cut back on their and to cut make dramatic cutbacks. The other stations didn't. WBAI did. They had no news department. So we basically have two people plus, you know, the engineers and volunteer staff doing 5 to 9 jobs, and to badger these people and tell them they're not doing enough is unbelievably demeaning. I don't know if anybody I know who could replace Berthold and do what he's doing and put up with the kind of abuse he puts up with. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'll try to do what I can with the meeting. Next is Denise Joyce.
The first thing I want to say, that because of a posting on the KPFTX site, the financial meeting wasn't posted correctly. I originally thought that there was no meeting today, that it transpired yesterday. So I'm assuming that some of the people are not at the meeting because of that. I've heard Bertel's name called several times. I'm just wondering if anyone actually texted him or emailed him to let him know that that information on the site was incorrect. It's been currently corrected, and the meeting is transpiring at this time. As for Gary Knowles, I think someone said, Jim, you had said that Gary Knowles was asked to leave. Gary Knowles he stepped away from the station. He wasn't asked to leave. He gave his reasons, and it was broadcast several times from Gary Knowles' mouth and not from anyone else. So there shouldn't be any confusion with that. And pertaining to the woman asked about that I had spoke about the CPB monies. I didn't speak about when it would be collected. I spoke about when are we going to start to make a concrete effort to collect the money, not when we would receive it. So I'm just hearing a lot of misquotes and confusion and what have you. I agree with the gentleman that spoke just a short period ago. If it is acceptable for the other media that our listeners sponsored to do, to conduct themselves with premiums in the way that they do, whether someone from the outside, as this gentleman said, they are not insiders, they are outsiders, and they are people who should be outed, fined, or kicked out of whatever position they have, and it should be done on a collective basis from all of the people and Specifica. That's why I originally asked, who is the person that made the accusation? What were the exact accusations made?
Paul,
and how
this
did
is Jack. Can I get on a stack?
And I just want to say one more thing before I close. I don't think one individual should be investigating this. I think that if you have an activity, a meeting, and you invite people to the meeting so that the listeners can also be in on the dialogue from people who can tell you exactly what the situation is, if you invite guests like that and have a meeting, then the listeners can hear as well. It won't have to be a situation where one person has a dialogue with someone and then that person in turn tries to explain it to the listeners. I think the listeners should be able to hear the dialogue and ask questions. That's how I think WBI meetings should be held, LSB, Finance, and Community Advisory Board. We make an effort to do that at the board, and that should happen throughout. For this FCC situation, Mr. Dingman, if you happen to know someone that you're going to dialogue to get some clarification, please consider having it on a Zoom or at an LSB meeting or one of the meetings where he or she can dialogue about the situation firsthand, and the listeners and the people on the panel on the particular board can ask questions as well. It would be much better for the listener and much better for you. It wouldn't put so much on your shoulders, and it might not be the way it should be done anyway. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the posting on kpftx.org, I just double-checked, and it's up there. May 15th, WBAI Finance Committee, 7 p.m., is up there. And I'll also note that regarding the general manager, he called me today and I emailed him back regarding tonight's meeting. So whatever's happening, he knew the meeting was happening. And the kpftx.org posting is correct. I mean, that's why Otis showed up. Okay, next person is Jim Dingman.
All right. First of all, on the issue of the FCC and all that, yes, indeed. Once I get a better understanding about this, I will indeed. Michael and I, and others are in charge of the town hall committee function of the board, and we will make sure that this issue is discussed with other people, because I don't understand it completely myself, to be honest with you, in depth. I want to understand it first. And getting back to the question that you raised about facts, yes, I do have an idea who made the complaint on airing of shows in New York, but I want to make sure I'm factually correct before I assert that publicly. So I'm not going to get into that in this open meeting. I don't know for sure. I have a feeling, but I don't want to, base the comment on feeling. I want to base it on fact. Now, earlier it was raised about the issue of the WAF committee. And my feeling about the WAF committee is this. I participated in the WAF committee for a number of months. And I think that the WAF committee is filled with very well-meaning people. What the WAF committee accomplished was not much, to be blunt. There was a lot of hoopla about having meetings to do this and do that, and it was really one part of the station's energy disparate from the other parts of the station's energy. And that cannot be going forward. It has to be a effort of everybody, not just one particular group of people in the station. There was constant talk about having outreach meetings. Like, for example, Martin has bought quite generously a banner to be used in external events. And we probably need more banners, too, because we have one of our board members who now wants to go out and actually go to the demonstrations and go out to all these different venues that open up in the summer. I remember a year or 2 years ago when Loughlin was talking about that, and that just didn't get implemented in an intelligent way. You really need everybody involved, everybody, a mass amount of people to get involved. And I know that when I was on the cab and others were involved with that 5 to 10 years ago, we accomplished those things. So moving forward, to deal with the issue of building audience, we need to have those kind of efforts. Now, I was mentioning earlier to one of our former board members, we don't have Frank Lefebvre here. Frank Lefebvre used to finance us going to the Left Forum. Now, did that create a large audience? No, probably not. But it certainly was a venue to have us interact with people who are simpatico to Pacifica, and we don't have that going on right now. So if somebody can get over to the Left Forum, which I believe meets in about a week or so over there at Long Island University, that'd be good. So there's all these opportunities to do these things that we need to do, and it has to be a joint effort of all the different people in the station going forward to actually implement that, not just, you know, frankly, a few people, and then we didn't really get much done, because that, unfortunately, was the result of that. But anyway, that's to comment about that, because, yeah, we need an outreach committee. We'll get one, but it has to be an everybody committee, not just a couple of people committee.
Okay, the next person on the stack is Martin Flynn.
Okay. So here's – I'm going to just swing back around for a second. The FCC complaints against Pacifica – no, not WBAI, because Pacifica is the licensee – were made by individuals operating on behalf of Organization X. I don't know who they are. I know, well, what organization they represent. But they – if you look at all the fines – issued against nonprofits by the FCC, or they have all been the result of a filed complaint. The FCC does not go around listening. They don't have the staff for it, nor do they really want to. So what happened here was somebody saw an opportunity to file a complaint and force Pacifica to spend money they didn't have to. So the issue here is, yes, they weaponized the process for reasons unknown. So that's factual. I can be happy to send out links to all the FCC fines that were levied against nonprofit radios for underwriting issues. There's not that many of them. And again, they're all based on people complaining about that one station for whatever their internal reason is. All right. So we'd asked about pivoting to another one. Reporting out on donations. Allegiance has the ability to generate a sanitized web page with that information on it. I have a lot of experience with Allegiance, with another nonprofit. It can do that. We're choosing not to do that. And by sanitized, it means it replaces the member number with a randomly generated number. You could, if you get into the Allegiance system, you could probably figure it out. But at that point, it's moot because they're already the fox is in the hen house. Last thing I'm going to point out, if anyone's familiar with Greater Public, it's a organization that supports nonprofit radio stations. The Pacifica attorney, Brad Dush, did a really great webinar on this exact subject back in 2022. It's members only content, but I think Stephanie has access to that and can get people in to see it. The point is, we have a corporate counsel who is a subject matter expert on this. if he tells us to do X, and he is an attorney, trying to find a way around his advice is bad form and not a good idea, because at that point we've been advised by our counsel, and if we do something that gets us in trouble, we own it because our counsel said not to do it. We did it anyway, and now somebody else complained or the same people complained, and the whole process starts all over again. That's it.
Okay, next we have Jack DePalma. Jack, you there?
I must have muted myself. You can hear me now?
We hear you now.
Okay, anybody can make a complaint to the FCC about anything, about anything. I believe that there are people that are trying to attack us internally and externally, and they do so out loud at LSB meetings. I believe what Nancy was saying before is another example of an internal attack, because Nancy should, you know, direct her attention to the other parts of Pacifica that aren't, you know, operating a cab, or as Mr. White said, they're not really doing evaluations, you know, according to the bylaws. They don't even have a finance committee meeting. I believe that there's a fellow in KPFA who's constantly coming up with a number that's outrageously, you know, large about it's our fault that we owe so much money to them. But we're all the same organization. That's like an assertion that's, you know, patently false to begin with. But the next thing is that when you say to them, well, here's what we get in New York City from the Finance Committee. I'm a member. I get this from the Finance Committee meeting, a narrative, two pages, three pages, and the financial reports. Can you give me for KPFA? They can't. So they don't. And yet a lot of times what happens is these people that make these claims, and no offense, I think a lot of people are misinformed or even half informed. So when they kind of make these concerns known, and I've been watching this for like a long time, probably 15 years now, I don't think we're really kind of all playing by the same rule book. Many times at Pacifica. Oh, and just one more thing. I did talk to Mr. Reimers during the meeting before I called him up, and he said to me, no, what I believe what's going on nowadays in Pacifica is that our general manager in New York City is really no longer in charge of all the monies, you might say, goes to Markeisha, right? Our business numbers are at Markeisha's table, not at general manager's table. So I don't think he really has fingertip control like he might have had in the past, because Pacifica required that WBAI, like all the stations should, have one bank account at Pacifica that's under their control in the Bank of America. However, I hear that one station doesn't do that. So I think sometimes our general manager should be a little upset that there's, you know, two sets of rules and he has to follow one and they have to follow another. And it's really unfair when they, as Ms. McIntyre said, to attack people with this type of one-sidedness is – I'm finished. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. yes, I have, you know, briefly glanced at the FCC stuff, and I believe the names are named in there. I mean, there's a group, Protector, the Pacifica Safety Net, and, you know, under that group, there's a number of people. I have seen at least one person who is on the National Finance Committee quoted online as being very much in favor of them. So, yeah, of course it's being weaponized. Of course it's unfair. And there, you have to look at the whole thing. What station has in the past attempted to take itself out of Pacifica? What station has in the past had people from it going to the California courts trying to get all of Pacifica put into receivership, and the receiver being some person nobody else has heard of but is pals with the people who filed it. Now, the courts, you know, see through things like that a lot, so it didn't happen. But that was an attempt. So, yeah, there's stuff going on, and it's unfair, and we got to try and figure out how to survive with this mess we've got. And that's all I have to say for the moment. And except, okay, you know, I keep doing this because I don't want people to say, I was there and you didn't call me. Is Mario Mastrandrea here? Bertold Reimer's here. Is M.K. Williams here? And,
Daryl,
do I need that? Okay. And I'm not going to do another thing about if people want to join just yet. But if anybody knows that they're here and they want to, pipe up now. Okay, I don't hear anybody. Okay, I hear Daryl. Anybody else want to get on a stack again?
Yes, Allie.
Okay, so Murphy. So I have Daryl McPherson, Allie Murphy. Anybody else?
Matt.
Who?
Matt.
Matt Mazza. Matt Mazza. Okay. Anybody else want to get it on a stack?
Yeah, Nancy
okay,
last.
Who's that?
Nancy last after everybody.
Nancy. Okay. Let's start with this group. Daryl, you have the floor.
Thank you all, Paul. Let me move to where there is no noise because I can't find the... May I suggest that we focus on the two things that really matter? Because, once again, saving WBAI or eliminating the folks out of Berkeley isn't going to save the network. And what I'm trying to find out is, Paul, is there a place that the responsibilities of the executive director to the station are delineated? Is it true that the contracts are signed, the major contracts, for instance, the two major rent contracts are signed by the executive director and the day that Pacifica has full control, basically, of our existence as a station? The thing that I would like to focus on is listenership and then fundraising. Because if we fail to shift the attitude in the network that there are five individual stations clawing their way to whatever, the thing is done anyway. What do we need to do to increase our listenership, and where's the money coming from to pay off the bills? For instance, we have the war in Gaza, and we did ally with KCR, WKCR, and they were broadcast over WBAI when they were having trouble with their bandwidth and what have you. Well, City College didn't get any time, and Parsons, the new school, didn't get any time. We need to be doing outreach to those students to come on BAI's air and then go back to their student body, who has then listened to WBAI because they listened to their fellow students. We need to be more creative in that area to pull in chunks of people. I will refrain from talking about changing behaviors, but like I said, I raised $64 as it was, the only money that was raised, it appears, by changing my behavior and using Good Search. We have to focus on what will, A, save the station and then save the entire network and ignore what happened in the past. Ignore. I mean, if they need to come up with – if Pacifica needs to come up with and from what the part – I missed part of the meeting. If they need to come up with $25 million yesterday, we should be out in the street with the potential of 27 million listeners in the New York area, of failing to take into account that we are a worldwide station. We have worldwide programming. What student are we investing capital in to help us develop the worldwide market so we can get money from those people who are listening out in the world? And so just to wrap it up, what is the responsibility of the Pacifica board to the stations in the context that I don't see a lot of help coming from them? I don't see them able to even raise enough money to perpetuate themselves. And what is the point of having a board that isn't able to raise money in the biggest markets in the world?
Okay. First of all, luckily, we don't have to raise $25 million. We only have to raise $25,000 only. And let's see. You asked a question here. The executive director responsibilities, yes, she is now the one who signs off on rental agreements and stuff like that. All of that kind of thing has now been centralized in the national office, and the executive director is the one who signs leases, purchases, and all of that kind of stuff, which I think is probably an improvement over some stuff that's happened in the past in Pacifica, some of which I still can't talk about. Having one person who has to do it, who actually knows what the hell's going on, is good. And having one person who would have a hard time concealing things if she wanted to is a good idea, too. I mean, there are two people in that office, so they're seeing all the money. The two of them are seeing all the money going around. So, if you had only one, you could question that, but you have to. So that answers that part of that question. And the next person we have is Alejandrino Murphy.
Yeah, thank you, Arpal. Yes, I wanted to talk about that filing to the FCC about taking the license away from WBAI. As you guys know, Lourdes Reyes, one of the things that Lourdes Reyes emphasized back then, when before these people, they filed that motion, and some people here on this call, they're very quiet about it, but I wanted to know if those people that they were at the PNB with Lourdes Reyes back then, who knew that these people, they will be filing that motion, or they will file those papers to the FCC to take away the license from WBI. And there were people that they were at the PNB from WBI that they are tonight on this call, and they haven't said a word about it. And they knew it already. And who are those people? The people who filed that against WBAI are people in California. And people here on this call, they know who these people are, and they're very quiet about it. And back then, Lawrence was very clear about it. It's people that they came here, people that they participated in 2019, October 19, and took WBI out of the air for almost a month. It's the same people. And they were, as a matter of fact, these people that they filed that, they were very, very proud about it. And he told us. He told a group, and Nancy was part of it. So if people, they wanted to blame Nancy for what Nancy has been doing tonight, which I don't think Nancy, it was, you should have done that, because you didn't look really good tonight about interrupting our poll, but it wasn't Nancy. So please don't blame Nancy for what other people in California are doing. And a lot of people on this call, they are aware that these people in California, they don't want the system of WBI on the air. Thank you. That's what I wanted to say. I'm done.
Okay, the next person is Matt Mazza.
Yes, thank you. I raised this issue that Jack DePalma hit on it a little earlier, of we have no control over our own money. And it all goes, and we don't have access to it. We don't have the guy that comes to clean and take out the girl, et cetera, et cetera, because we can't pay him. Even though we might have money, we can't access it to pay him. This is absurd. And what can we do to counteract this, to get that opened up again? I mean, this is a little bit ludicrous. Ways, also ways, if you carry cards that Denise has made up, we can have these cards that you carry around with you, start a conversation with someone, give them a card, you know, listen. That's one way. It's not a big thing, but a little bit, and give cards to everyone. But this issue with we don't have control. It looks like there's a box downstairs that might have some blank disk, might have some supplies that finally got through. Because I've been asking Bertel, they didn't arrive yet. They didn't arrive yet. They don't know. I mean, this is kind of tough. So cleaning supplies, be a person to come and clean. I mean, this is a major issue. That's it for now. Thank you.
Okay. And the next person is Nancy.
Okay. When I was on the audit committee many years ago, I can't remember the name of the company. It's not the present, the last one, but the last one. And the auditors said they recommend that all financial documentation be sent to the national office. And national was not getting everything from the all five stations, particularly. Never mind. Anyway, and I said to him, but don't you think it is the responsibility of LSB members to have fiduciary responsibility? I mean, they're representing the membership, and there should be accounting at the local and accounting at the national, both. And they should both jive. And he said, yes, yes. He said, that is true. That is important to have at the local and at the national. But right now, it's such a mess. Everything needs to be sent to the national at least. Okay, so that sounded like in desperation, and that is not really a responsible way that we board members, or you board, and I'm off the board right now, I'm tenured out, should be able to see what Carolyn McIntyre said she was shown. It should be all the board members. In fact, in the bylaws, it says any member of a station has the right to walk in the station and see documentation. Although, we don't have something prepared to show people at our station. I doubt at the other stations. But that's part of the bylaws, and it's correct. We should be able to see. And if everything is honest and correct, then
Carolyn
McIntyre
for the staff.
Okay, could people let this person finish, and then we can get another stack going? Okay, continue, please.
If everything is honest, then why are you afraid, or why is anybody afraid to demand it? I mean, you have to be responsible to the people who elected you, right? If it's honest, if it's correct, then it should be posted. That's all. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Yeah, I said that about the can. At the outreach, and I was the president as a member last year. There was more than two or three people, Jim. I don't know if Jim's still on. There were many more people, and we had many things we were getting good ideas for, and then all of a sudden, this is unbelievable, no outreach. I mean, that means it's becoming similar to KPFA. They have zero committees.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me Let me say, I think maybe the speaker was talking about what's called the public file, which is a legal mandatory thing from the SEC. Every radio station, every broadcast station of any sort has to have what's called the public file. And the public file has certain things in it which are required by law, and they say exactly what those things need to be. And anyone at all on earth can go in to a radio station and say, during business hours, and say, I want to review your public file, and they have to be shown it. I think these days the public file may be on the web somewhere. I'm not sure about that, but I know that WBAI has had the public file. I have heard that one station somewhere in Pacifica did not have a public file. Now, this was, you know, a couple of years ago, but there are things that happen in Pacifica that make one roll one's eyes at times. And so if you're talking about the public file, I think BII has one. All right. Now, other people, I'll note that it's now 14 minutes after 9. So other people want to speak. Could you – let's have a stack going on.
Carolyn McIntyre.
Carolyn McIntyre.
Jim to the stack.
Jim Dingman. Anybody else want to get on the stack? Okay, let's start with Carolyn McIntyre. Go ahead.
So, unfortunately, I have to dispel another myth that Nancy is perpetuating in this meeting. The reports that were provided to me were provided to all the LSB members. Okay, I'll say that again. I never had trouble getting any financial information from Berthold, neither did any of the other board members. Berthold is the only one that goes to all the LSB meetings. He's not here tonight, but he's been to almost every finance committee meeting. The San Francisco station, in contrast, doesn't have a finance committee. The LSB does not meet monthly. And recently, it was found that this station, which was constantly accusing WBAI of a lack of transparency, it was discovered that they, in fact, were not paying central services, but by their bookkeeping gimmick, so that they were. So the people that are pointing the finger the most are the ones that we should be scrutinizing. Thank you.
Okay. Jim Dingman, you're next.
All right. Well, first of all, we wouldn't be going through these problems if we had 30 years of our revenue coming in a positive way. We would not be hearing from anybody. We wouldn't have had these people in California file an FCC complaint. None of that would have happened. So keep in mind, the only thing that the best way to answer them is to simply increase the revenue, grow the station, and make it work better. That's it. Now, in terms of the complaints that occurred from this group, all the members who are on this phone call, who are on the national board 2 years ago, know well. We all fought and cooperated with Lawrence in tandem against the people who were bringing these complaints. And we conducted essentially trials of them. And through basically two people suffered the consequences of that. So that went on for at least 4 months when I was on the board, and we did not sit back and not do anything about it. The problem now is that the majority in the board is no longer willing to go along with those kind of measures, and at this point, the cat is out of the bag with the FCC. The FCC sent a letter of inquiry in February, which we had to respond to. So the whole thing was deliberate, as far as I'm concerned, this is my opinion only, to essentially hurt New York, because, again, whether you like Gary or not, whether you like Christine or not, they've essentially stripped us of 35 to 40% of our gross revenue, and that gross revenue of Gary was integrated into the show that Leonard Lopate does. So once you have a diminution of the audience of Gary, and that revenue gone, along with Christine, that will affect Leonard Lopate. Now, it's pretty clear to me that we will be forced into cost-cutting measures. The details of that, you know, that would, you know, I can't get into, but that's going to happen, whether we like it or not. And we're going to have to adjust to that. And again, the only way to counter that is to take the station out of the problems it's in. As hard as I know everybody's fighting like hell to do this right now. And all I can say is that is something that hopefully we will all get to do better. But we have to keep in mind that the back of all this, as far as I'm concerned, again, this is my opinion only, is that people would like to sell or swap the signal so they can get at least $20 million or more from that. And that is where I think some people's inclinations are, regardless of their self-righteous Dudley Do-Right of the Mounties kind of goody-two-shoe facade. Now, the question of how they operate out there, again, this is my opinion. Some of our comrades in California love to sue people. They love to threaten people. They love to run their meetings like it's something out of Orwell's 1984. Again, that's my opinion, and that's the kind of stuff that I do not want to see, although I see it creeping into the national board. And that I will oppose. I will fight it to the tooth and nail. And already we have in both open and closed session in terms of how they're operating. They have not stood up a programming committee, a technical task force committee. There are outright violations, in my opinion, of Robert's rules going on. And that's the kind of situation we're faced with. So, again, the only way to counter that is for us in New York to do our best and essentially turn the whole station around. That's the only solution that basically will make them shut the hell up. And, you know, that's it. Bottom line.
Okay. I will point out it is now 20 minutes after 9. Is there anybody else who wants to get on a stack?
James.
Yes, me, Ali. Ali Murphy.
Okay. So I have James Sagerton, Ali Murphy. Anybody else? Okay, James Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, this is almost like a point of personal privilege. This has been an interesting, lively conversation, and unfortunately, I'm involved in a family matter that's taken me off the call multiple times, and I really wasn't able to engage in the conversation, but I heard some things said that, at least one thing that I did want to respond to. I didn't know enough of what people were saying to respond to some of the other things that were happening. I'm sure I could have contributed more if I had been able to participate, you know, be here the whole time. I heard Carolyn McIntyre make some comments about Bertel's transparency, and I want to echo that. I don't know what it was said to set her off on that, but I just want to say that with Bertel, I always had full transparency with him, even before I was even on the board. I just came in as a listener trying to figure out what was going on. And I found when I approached him with questions, not hurling accusations at him, making assumptions, demanding to have him do this, that, or the other thing, or offering solutions as if I knew what the solution was. I merely asked questions and tried to learn, and he was completely forthcoming. And I know that there are no other general managers in this network who have the financial acumen that he does, that do the kind of financial figuring that he does. He's always on top of things. Now, unfortunately, a lot of that has been removed to the national office. He doesn't have access to all of that information anymore. It's been taken out of his responsibility. But nonetheless, he can now turn his efforts towards making money, and I hope that he'll be very successful in that. But as far as his openness and his transparency and his willingness to share, all you have to do is go in and ask a question, and you'll get more information eventually than you may even want. But if you go in hurling accusations,
It's not going to work. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, next person is Alejandrino Murphy.
Okay. Thanks, Arpol. I just wanted to say two things. One is that I do agree with Jim that if it WBI were on a very, you know, financial stable, I don't think all this problem will come WBI way. But I will have to say this, and it's too bad that he passed away. One thing that Lauren said was that some of the people that they were the PMB from WBI were really they did participate with the other side in some of their voting and decision making. So I don't know. It's too bad that he passed away, and we don't have a person to respond to it. And that's the reason that I made that statement. Okay, I just wanted to put that out there. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll point out it is now 9:24 p.m. We can, you know, do we want to spend the next 6 minutes with more discussion, or would somebody like to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, it's been moved to adjourn. And is there any opposition to adjourning at this time? Hearing none, that motion is passed without objection. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all, and we'll see you next month. I guess we will. All right, thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Arpol. Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Thanks, Arpol.
Thank
good
all
night,
of
all.
You. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Arpol.